So come on, you Vixens, big game ahead. Hello and welcome to episode 2 of the Bristol City Vixen Cast. It's DM here.
And Nat.
And me, Shahan.
Just to confirm, social distancing is taking place, so it's all completely safe and distanced. This episode will feature Bristol City's first game against Everton in our new home at Twerton Park.
We just want to thank everyone who gave us feedback from our last episode, and thank you to everyone who listened. All podcasts tell you to do this, but please don't forget to rate, review us, and subscribe if you haven't already. The more people that do this, the more other people that can find our podcast. And don't forget to follow our podcast on Twitter at BCVixenCast.
Before we start talking about news and things that have been happening since we last recorded, we should mention why we're called the Bristol City Vixen Cast. So obviously the cast is because it's a podcast, but the Vixen relates to an old nickname that the Bristol City women's team used to have before they came in line with the rest of Bristol City and became the Robins. So we still like to consider ourselves the Vixens. We consider all the players to be Vixens, and the nickname of our team is still the Vixens to us. So that's why we call ourselves the Vixen Cast.
And the Vixen nickname comes from the old years of Bristol Academy. And when they changed their name to Bristol City, it was decided at the time to keep the Vixen's nickname.
Yes, but when there was a kind of further reintegration with the club, they completely lost the Vixens and then decided to just use the Robins in all the kind of top line media communications. But in using Vixens, it's not meant to be critical of the club or confrontational or anything like that. It's just a fun and playful way of keeping the memory of the football club alive. So in the past week, a lot of things have happened, haven't they, Shahan?
Yes, they have, DM. First of all, we'd just like to make an apology in regards to last week's episode talking about the news that happened throughout the summer. Unfortunately, we forgot to mention the fact that Flo Allen had also signed new terms with the club. So Flo, if you're listening, we are so very sorry.
But well done for signing.
Yeah, it's thank great to you. Have you, Flo.
As you were saying, DM, there's been a lot of news that's been happening over the last 7 days. Last Sunday, Steve Lansdowne, the owner of Bristol Sport, did an interview with Dave Barton, mainly about Bristol City men and that the summer that they've had. There was a brief mention of City women. All of the mention is on our Twitter page because it was only like a couple of minutes. I think one highlight for me was Steve Lansdowne accidentally referring to the WSL as the Premier League, and I'm pretty sure it was purely a slip up. So
yeah, we all do those.
And moving on to the news announced on Monday the 31st of August, where Yana Daniels, who recently signed a new contract before the end of the season, has been called up to the Belgium Red Flame squad for their qualifiers against Romania and Switzerland.
Congratulations, Yana.
And of course, long-time Vixen fans will be aware that Julie Biesmans has also been announced for the Belgium squad. And on Tuesday, the 1st of September, the Continental Cup groups were announced. Bristol City are in Group F against Lewis, Crystal Palace and London Bees. We are the only WSL team in our group, and there is a change of format this season. There are 5 groups of 4 teams and 1 group of 3 because the championship only has 11 teams this season. And the group winners and the 2 best runners-up qualify for the quarterfinals. Dates and locations of the games are to be confirmed, but DM and Nat, I just want to say, ask, what do you think? Do you think this would be an easier group for Bristol to get out this season?
Surely we should be able to at least give them a good game. We've done well in the past against some lower ranking opposition. I think that's a really good opportunity for us to get through to some knockout games. Looking forward to it.
And I'm also excited about playing Lewis, who are my championship team.
Yeah, and they
strong moral core.
They pay their women's team equally as their men's team.
And they're also a fan-owned club, so very much an inspiring model of how to run a football club.
And on Wednesday, the 2nd of September, the long-rumoured news was confirmed that Jazz Matthews is named club captain for the season.
Fantastic. We were all very excited about that. I think Jazz is a great choice as captain. She's a Vixen's legend. She's got her own flag. Now we can just go and graffiti captain on it when we can sneak into the ground one time. Well done, Jazz.
Yeah. And I think it's been really great to watch Jazz grow into her, you know, her footballing career over the years. I just hope, She has a injury-free season, so she was blighted by injuries a few years ago, and she's definitely the player to be leading us in this FAWSL campaign.
Yes, I believe, apart from a spell with Liverpool, she's now the longest-serving player at the club.
Yeah, I mean, I'm having fantasies about her kind of rousing captain speeches a la Gilla Flaherty in the West Ham documentary.
So just to put that into context, we started watching, is it Squad Goals? Is that what it's called? We started watching Squad Goals last night, and we were fascinated by Matt Beard and Gilly Flaherty's way of speaking to the team, and Gilly Flaherty's partly unbelievable accent. It's just really quite something. Come on, girls! You've got it in you. Play for the badge on your chest.
I mean, I haven't seen it yet, but don't tell me how it ends. Further news from Wednesday was the backroom staff appointments, which have now appeared to be complete. Eden Davis has become the head of physical performance and joins from Brighton and Hove Albion men. Dan Smith becomes head of goalkeeping, who joins from West Ham women. So maybe he was in the Squad Goals documentary. And Your Billy becomes the new physiotherapist, joined from Sydney FC Women.
I think these are all fantastic. I don't know much about them as individuals, but what I do know is that last year it felt like, although we had lots of, we had a, you know, a good team of players blighted by injury again, but we were just missing backroom staff. It was like Tanya was doing absolutely everything. So now we've got Lauren Dykes added to the coaching staff. We've got all these backroom players, backroom staff. We've got Lee Billiard, who's kind of going to be pulling the strings a little bit more. It just sounds like we're like starting to look a lot more like a full outfit, and we've got lots of really good professionals working behind the scenes. I think it's really, really exciting. And if I was a Bristol player now, I'd be really excited about the level of support I'd be getting off the pitch. I think this sounds really, really amazing.
Amazing. And thank you to Evan and Dan, who follow the podcast back on Twitter. So we do appreciate it. And thank you for listening. And on Thursday, the 3rd of September, a new signing was announced at Bristol. Benedict Hallen joins as the club's new goalkeeper. She last played for Lugano in Switzerland. She's competed for under 19 level for Norway. And I'm just trying to think, do you think she could compete with Bagley to be a first choice goalkeeper?
I think it's unlikely that she's going to be competing directly with Bagley, although I haven't seen her. I tried to look online this morning for any video shots of her, you know, in the sticks, in between the sticks even, but I couldn't find anything. So I guess maybe during the Continental Cup or the FA Cup, she might get an opportunity to, you know, be the first goalkeeper there. And it'll be interesting to see. I think obviously the big thing that we talked about last week was the fact that we didn't have a reserve goalkeeper. So just to have a reserve goalkeeper is a plus point. But yeah, I mean, hopefully it will give Bagley some competition.
Do you think Haaland could get more opportunities than Uffa Cummings did, who unfortunately didn't play as many games as she would have liked?
I'm not sure.
I think there weren't quite so many matches last season. Even before COVID, there seemed to be some quite significant breaks between games. So I understand why Baggers was playing pretty much all the games, because otherwise as a goalkeeper, if you don't play a game, you know, you could have gone about a month without playing competitive football, and that's really, really not good for you. So with all these games, you know, the Continental Cup, that, you know, hopefully being quite busy, I think there's a chance that this second goalkeeper might get in, and that's when the competition would really start. I don't think you would do that based on training. I think Baggers is always going to be the number one, but if she plays really, really well, I think it'll give Tanya something to think about. Yeah, I'm really excited to see. So we got a new coach, a new reserve keeper, and Sophie Bagley. I think that's really brilliant.
And Haaland, I believe, becomes the first Scandinavian to join Bristol City since Juliette Kempe used to play for the club. And I can't think of any other better Scandinavian sign-in, but if any club wishes to make such a sign-in, they have to try harder.
So what's the other news?
Well, DM, on Friday the 4th of September, the WSL fixtures, as well as the championship fixtures, were finally released for the season. We already knew the first two rounds, of course, Everton today and Chelsea away next week. We're not going to go through all the fixtures now. Some things I want to look at. The Women's Football Weekend is scheduled to take place in November again, but it hasn't been decided which round of fixtures that's going to be. February has no home fixtures whatsoever, and all the fixtures are going to be on a Saturday or Sunday, with the exception of Tottenham away on Wednesday on Wednesday or Thursday, February 10th and 11th, and Manchester City at home on Wednesday or Thursday, March 17th or 18th. Of course, FA Cup and any Conti Cup fixtures that have yet to be announced could potentially be on missing weekends or even midweek as well. So again, for the home game against Manchester City, again, I know for a lot of fans, attending midweek games is a bit hard because of work commitments and travel. Would you see yourselves travelling all the way to Twerham Park for a midweek game?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, 100%.
I'll see you there, DM. There we go. That was an easy answer, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean,
I don't think it's too much of a problem. I think, yeah, actually, it's quite a nice place. Looks like a nice place to get to. We haven't been yet, obviously.
Yeah.
I'll try and go to midweek games if possible.
Sure thing.
As soon as they let me back in,
definitely.
Then I'll be at every home game if I can.
And last season, there was no midweek games at home. The only midweek games were away in the Conti Cup and at Manchester City away.
Yeah, and I think some of the games are also going to be played at Ashton Gate.
Yes, but those games have yet to be confirmed.
But that will be exciting, and hopefully, you know, that's more be more opportunities for socially distancing then, and hopefully we'll be let in soon.
Sure thing. More news from Friday, when both Bristol City teams finally revealed their home kit on the same weekend that the seasons were going to restart.
Well, that was pretty exciting. So it's always the moment that everybody waits for, I think, or at least it's the moment I always wait for, is to see the new kit. What do you think of it, Nat?
I'm a big fan of the Hummel kit. I think it looks amazing. It's a very big yogurty heart on the front of the women's kit. Do you think it's going to be that size?
I've seen the photos compared with the men's shirt sponsor, Mansion Bear, and yes, it is a lot bigger than the logo was last season. And yes, we didn't talk about kits last week because we forgot, and also the home kit at that time was not yet revealed. So the only kit that we saw was the purple and lime away kit, which has long been standing with Bristol City history since 1994. And speaking of history, the home kit makes for both men and women makes reference to the Ashton Gate 8. For those fans that aren't familiar with the Bristol City men's team, in January 1982, the club were facing liquidation after successive relegations. 8 players, Jimmy Mann, Trevor Tainton, Jeff Merrick, David Rogers, Jerry Sweeney, Peter Aiken, Chris Garland and Julian Marshall, all agreed to tear up their expensive contracts to help save the club. Now in 2020, Bristol City have decided to finally honour them by having the 8 symbol on the back of all the shirts, or at least the home shirt anyway. Unlike last season, the women's home shirt is available to pre-order online, as is the men's shirt. However, the away shirts and the goalkeeping shirts with the Yeo Valley logo on aren't available online, so I'm a bit concerned as to whether the club aren't going to release them like they did last season.
Yeah, I saw that, and I think it's possible that they won't make them available, which is a shame because I really love the goalkeeper kit, and I'd be interested in that.
Yes, this season's goalkeeper kit makes reference to Peter Schmeichel from Euro 1992, where he wore that really fantastic goalkeeping kit for Denmark, and of course Denmark's kit was made by Hummel, who of course a Danish company.
I see, very good. Yeah, that's probably my my favourite kit, actually, one of the goalkeeping kits. It was a shame last year. We all loved that black away kit, didn't we? But we couldn't get hold of it. I think most of us would have bought one from the supporters club.
I think, again, because I'm a fan of the men's team as well, I'm afraid I might probably favour the men's home shirt rather than the women's home shirt because, again, of course, of the Ashton Gate 8 connection. How about yourselves? Would you get a home shirt? I'm guessing you have to. There's only one for the women.
Yeah, I'm definitely tempted to. I think it's a really nice shirt. So I've actually never bought a Bristol women's shirt. So this year could be the year. And very excitingly, Shahan, you've had some newspaper coverage yourself this week, haven't you?
Yes, I have, DM. We were approached by the Daily Telegraph, again, as a fan output, to feature in their WSL preview. They contacted fans from all 12 WSL clubs, and I took part on behalf of Bristol City fans. The article was released online on the Telegraph website on Friday. The link's available on our Twitter page. But one thing that was interesting in the article at the time was for the feature about Brighton, who said that Laura Rafferty was a player to watch for them this season. Speaking of which, Saturday the 5th of September, the club announced that Laura Rafferty would join Bristol on the season-long loan.
Woo! Very exciting. Super pleased about that. What a really good signing that is, I think, to have that strength and depth in the centre of defence. And from what I can tell as well, she is somebody who can pop up with a goal every now and then and assists. Obviously had a ACL injury and has recovered from that. So didn't play much last season, but Northern Ireland international, and is also involved in Wanmata's Common Goal project. So seems like a really good personality in person to have around the squad.
And today, this morning, the squad numbers for the season were finally announced. Most of the squad numbers are the same from last season. The notable differences are Faye Bryson has been promoted from 26 to number 2, which was Lauren Dyke's old number. Amy Palmer will be wearing number 14, formerly of Jean Gaillard. Benedict Halland will be wearing number 13, formerly of Eartha Cummins. Gemma Perfia will be wearing number 23. Ella Mascher-Antonio will be wearing 26, Faye Bryson's old number.
And we're pleased to see that Ebony Salmon will be wearing number 9 after we made that flag, talking about her as Bristol's number 9. Yeah. So.
And we also had some news about ex-Vixens, Vixens in disguise, getting contracts at new clubs.
Yes, so Jean Gaillard, who unfortunately didn't make many appearances for Bristol at the end of last season, has now joined Reading. Turns out she's the second highest goal scorer for South Korea behind Ji So-young, which I did not know about. And Ella Rutherford, who was on loan last season at Crystal Palace and Leicester, has now signed terms with Charlton. So she's familiar with the Championship. It was unfortunate to see her leave Bristol. Not quite sure what happened, because obviously she was getting the first team football, but I'm guessing the team just went in a different direction.
But it's so really good to see her getting a club, and yeah, wishing her all the very best as she kicks on with her career.
And someone whose career has now come to an end is former goalkeeper Siobhan Chamberlain, who made 80 appearances for Bristol Academy between 2005 and 2007 and 2010 to 2013 and won 50 caps for England. She did a really beautiful video on her social media confirming that she was training with an unnamed WSL side in the summer, but she made a decision that her body just wasn't the same to compete at such a elite level, and so now she's focusing on her family and her other endeavours.
Yeah, she was such a good keeper for Bristol. Great memories of watching her play for Bristol. So good luck in your retirement from football, Siobhan Chamberlain. So we are recording this at 14 minutes to 2. So that's 14 minutes to the kickoff of the first game for Bristol for the 2020-21 season. And the team has been released.
Yeah, so Bristol's team, the starting 11 is Sophie Bagley, Faye Bryson, Gemma Evans, Jazz Matthews, Chloe Legazzo, Carla Humphrey, Charlie Wellens, Amy Palmer, Abby Harrison, Gemma Perfield and Ella Mascher-Antonio, with Halland, Rafferty, Salmon, Daniels, Allen, Bissell, Wilson, Lazell and Jones all on the subs bench.
Fantastic. I really like the look of that starting 11. How about you?
Yeah, it looks like a promising starting 11. It's a shame the Salmon's on the bench, but I'm guessing Mascher-Antonio starting must have been something that happened in training. And to me, she's like a player I really want to look out for today.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, Salmon on the bench is something that we've seen quite a lot of, though, isn't it? We know she comes on brilliantly.
As a super sub, yes.
Exactly. She's really amazing. So I trust Tanya on that one. But so we've agreed, haven't we, that we're going to specifically watch Ella Mascher-Antonio for this game and do a little report on how well she plays. We're all excited about seeing her play. She looks like a bit of a character as well, doesn't she?
Yeah, excited to see her play. And it looks like quite an attacking setup as well that Tanya has put together, and a lot of strength in midfield. You know, the wing backs, we weren't too far off actually in terms of our prediction for the starting 11 last week. Certainly we got the back four right, so that was good. And I think there's a lot of creativity, a lot of potential for possession based football in the midfield as well. Some really good ballers, as they say, you know, through the spine of the team. So yeah, really excited, and also excited about seeing Charlie Wellings play, I think perhaps in her natural role, because she was often played out of position last season. I didn't always quite understand what, you know, she was like as a footballer, because she was playing around a bit. So I think hopefully this formation and this team will, you know, give her a platform to shine. And also exciting news, because Super Carla Humphreys is back in the starting 11.
Yes, she's been out of the game for over 200 days with an unfortunate injury. She looked well enough to have returned last season, had games resumed then, but of course now she's fully firm, ready to go.
So we're going to be back after the game. So we're recording this, see, before the game starts. So we wanted to do that so we'd sound relatively upbeat just in case, you know, something bad happens and we don't feel upbeat afterwards.
Do you want to f***ing win on Sunday or not?
I was just wondering about Jess Fishlock's name because it looks like it's spelled differently on a Reading shirt to how I've ever seen it before. So Shahan, how do you spell Fishlock?
I always thought it was F-I-S-H-L-O-C-K.
Right, it looks like it's got F-I-S-C-H now. It's like she's gone European.
Oh, well, maybe, but maybe the kid person's had a bit of a nightmare.
Yeah, that'd
be embarrassing,
wouldn't
it? Someone's getting sacked in the morning.
She's got the best cheekbones in the business, though, hasn't she? Right up there with Jill Scott having the boniest knee.
Do you want to f***ing win on Sunday or not?
So we've just watched Bristol City lose 4-0 in our first home game against Everton in the 2020-21 season. Everton's goals were scored by Simone McGill, Lucy Graham scored a brace, and Valerie Gauvin scored her first goals in English women's football. So it was, I think, fair to say, a fairly limp and disappointing performance from Bristol. Very much shades of last season in terms of the setup. Not enough attacking threat for the home team. We only had 3 shots on target. We seemed to be sitting back and were again set up in, as a more counter-attacking side. What are your thoughts?
Yes, I agree with you, DM. Everton just outplayed Bristol today. It was a bit interesting to see Harrison start because when she got subbed off for Salmon immediately made more of an impact. Salmon herself had her chances, including the one-on-one with McIver, but yes, and there were some players who we didn't feel we couldn't see much of a contribution or from an impact being made compared to other players. Again, we said earlier we were going to keep an eye out on Mastrantonio. I think there was some sort of miscommunication between her and Carla Humphrey in that free kick attempt later on in the game. I think the team today just together haven't gelled. Maybe they need some more training or just some more time playing together.
It was definitely a first game of the season. It looked like it. I watched Man City yesterday and similar thing. They've got world-class players all over their pitch and they didn't really look like it. So I'm not entirely surprised. It's a shame to have conceded 4 goals and to concede two goals quite early on was quite a disappointment. And that did kind of remind me of last season. But I do think we actually had a more significant presence in midfield. Yeah. So that's there and that just needs to grow. And the communication issues, there were one or two things where it was really, really obvious that there was a miscommunication. So I think there were probably many more times when it was less obvious that there was a communication issue, but that was probably the reason why certain things didn't go our way. But in terms of the new players, some of them made a good impact. They were certainly there. I just think they need to be a bit bolder and a bit braver now. And we need to just, it just looked like a first game of the season.
And also, I don't believe the scoreline reflected the game because the last 2 goals that Everton scored pretty much came out of nowhere, really, because City were defending pretty well and just, fortunately, Everton just had those 2 chances.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't a 4-0 game. I really don't think it was a 4-0 game. And I think we didn't deserve to lose that game 4-0, but obviously we did deserve to lose it 4-0 on some level because we lost 4-0. But I think it's quite puzzling in some respects, but a big problem though is the attacking threat and or lack of attacking threat, the inability to get behind teams. It's still the main tactic is still route one when Ebony Salmon comes on. It just didn't work. To be honest, I do appreciate what you're saying that about it being the first game of the season, but I am disappointed in terms of the setup that there isn't more of a offensive attitude at home especially. And my worry is that, you know, just say shades of last season in terms of late goals conceded. Yeah, it's disappointing. And already you're sort of in that position where you're looking, you know, you're kind of like worried about the goal difference and things like that. So, yeah, I mean, there were positives in the sense of I thought Gemma Purfield had a good match. I thought Amy Palmer has definitely had some presence in the team and they made a difference and they were noticeable within the team. And I think going forward, I think there's, you know, potentially a positive contribution from those players. But yeah, I was pretty disappointed, to be honest.
Yeah, we're not sure whether Harrison should have started the game. We unless there was like a fitness issue which affected like the formation or the lineup. But if Salmon was available to start from the game, I think we can all agree that it would have been better if she started the game.
Yeah, I mean, it's not just the attacking threat. It's also the link-up play as well. I think already you could see her holding the ball up and playing intelligent balls forward to Charlie Wellings. I'd just like to see, you know, at least once or twice this season, her starting, you know, possibly alongside Harrison. But we need to be better. I mean, at home, three shots on target, it's not good enough.
It just reminded me of that season when Katie Robinson and Ebony Salmon usually wouldn't play together. One would usually be subbed for the other.
I expect by now you are pretty fed up with listening to us miserable Bristol fans talking about today's game. Lucky for you, there's a break from that. Peter Mack from the Everton Women's Supporters Club now offers his thoughts on the game.
It's finished. Bristol City Women 0, Everton 4. A fantastic start to the season from an Evertonian's point of view. Simone McGill got us off to an absolute flyer on 6 minutes. A great ball over the top from Lucy Graham and a fantastic first-time finish from Simone McGill on the volley right into the bottom corner. Lucy Graham put us 2-0 up after 17 minutes. Again, a lovely move down the left-hand side. Great ball in, and Lucy Graham was there to tuck it home on the back post. And the first half, I think it showed a lot of what Willie Kirk wants our side to do this season. A lot of high intensity, chasing and harrying the defenders, giving absolutely everything for that blue shirt. I think last season, sometimes we were possibly a bit too reliant on the likes of Chloe Kelly to get us a goal. In games where we weren't really creating too many chances. But looking at the side this season, we look to have that intensity back. We look to have players throughout the side who will cause problems, whether that's from the starting 11 or coming off the bench. Lucy Graham got a third for Everton in the second half from the penalty spot. Great, great penalty right into the roof of the net. And then finally, one of our substitutes, Valerie Gauvin, a big signing from France this summer. Someone we're really excited about. Her goal scoring record in France is absolutely superb. So I feel like Gauvin can be a really, really top player for Everton this season. And she proved that within minutes of coming off the bench, a fantastic finish into the bottom corner to make it 4-0 to Everton. Overall, I felt like Everton played really well today. As I say, the intensity was high. Izzy Christiansen, Hayley Razzo and Simone McGill all linked up really well. As I say, the substitutes who came on made an impact as well. Shani Boyd-Lawker will always be a threat with her pace. She had a sort of a half chance after she'd come on. I feel like Bristol found it really difficult to deal with that intensity today. Certainly weren't given a moment's peace in the first half in particular. I feel like that intensity from Everton and the fast-flowing football is something that we as Evertonians can look forward to this season. In terms of Bristol, I certainly want to wish them the best for this season. In particular, Faye Bryson, who plays for Bristol now. You know, we know her well from when she played at Everton. A fantastic player. Always battles, always wants to fight for that shirt. Everything you'd want to see in a professional footballer. So, you know, I'd certainly want to wish Bristol and Faye in particular all the best for this season. I think we, as Evertonians, would be disappointed if we weren't in or around the top four by come the end of the season. We really have made some terrific signings this summer, and we're just absolutely delighted with the start we've made today.
One positive we did spot was the presence of the flags that DM and I helped design and produce by the for the Supporters Club. Lee Billiard tweeted the location of the flags, and they could be seen on camera. One of the Supporters Club flags was literally behind one of the goals.
Yeah, the flags did look nice, and I also thought that the setting of Twerton Park was very attractive to watch on the TV, the lovely setting of the Bath Hills. But yeah, we're clutching at straws for positives, but hopefully, you know, what you're saying that about it being the first game of the season, hopefully things can change and improvements will be made. And of course, maybe in the long run, Everton will go on to have a really good season and will be a top three side. And we'll, you know, as they keep saying in their as their ambition, and we'll look back on this and think, well, we've just come up against a really, really good side. And to be fair, the goals that they did score were really quality goals. I'm not sure if the penalty decision was a fair decision. Again, Lucy Graham, really quality penalty taker, dispatched it without any problem whatsoever.
Obviously, we are recording this before the Women's Football Show airs on BBC One tonight, so it'll be interesting to see what reaction or coverage they give for this game and what observations that their pundits will make.
Looking forward to Chelsea next week. How are we feeling about that particular challenge?
I'm never going to look forward to playing Chelsea at the moment. I think they've got a ridiculous squad. They've set themselves up to try and win the Champions League. And yeah, I think they look quite frightening. But there's no reason why we can't frustrate them. Maybe try and score a goal. That would be good. I'd like to see a goal, basically. And I want to see an improvement in the performance.
Last season's game at King's Meadow, Ebony Salmon opened the goal scoring, and a huge upset was potentially on the cards. There's nothing to say that that won't happen again.
Exactly. Yeah, it's not a done deal already, is it? But yeah, I'm looking for a much better performance.
And of course, the transfer window is still open for a few more days after we record this. So it'll be interesting to see if any new signings are made at Bristol to see how that will affect the game of Chelsea. And of course, to see what signings Chelsea can make as well.
Surely Chelsea don't need any more signings. I mean, they've got half of the women's football team, haven't they? Half of the world's team are playing for Chelsea at the moment. They could chuck us a few players, but I really hope that we get a striker in, because we have actually, I mean, that was one thing that you could say about the squad today that was on display. There was a lot of strength in depth, and they were able to, you know, bring on like for like substitutes. So, you know, moving forward, that might be a good thing. But we do need to strengthen in the front forward positions, because at the moment you have only Salmon and Harrison as out-and-out strikers. I think when Yana Daniels first came and played for Bristol, she was playing in more of a striker role. So maybe she can be played up front as well. But you have Wellings and Daniels as similar kind of confused strikers in my head. Or, what, you know, I'm not still quite sure where their position is or where they're playing. So we need more attacking threat. And I think if we could add a striker this week, that would be really, really good. And then we'd say, good job done in terms of the recruitment.
And so this wraps up this week's episode of Bristol City Vixen Cast. Our next episode will be available sometime after the game against Chelsea, which is an earlier kickoff of 12:30 PM UK time, available on the BBC Red Button and iPlayer, or FA Player if you're watching internationally. Don't forget to rate, review and subscribe to the podcast. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter at BC Vixen Cast. I've been Shahan Mir.
And I've been DM Withers.
And I've been Nat.
Music was provided by Annie Gardiner. Artwork was by Shahan Mir. Editing was by DM Withers. And bread making was by Nat Brown.
Thanks for listening, and keep supporting women's football. So come on, you Vixens. Big game ahead.